In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today in the Orthodox Church is the Sunday before the Nativity of our Lord, where we celebrate all of the righteous from Abraham through King David all the way to Christ himself. If you didn't know this coming into this service, you probably found out during the gospel reading, right? When we hear about this wonderful genealogy, all those names of the ancestors of Christ, some of them that we don't know, many of which are difficult to pronounce. And as the name for this Sunday indicates, this is the Sunday before the Nativity. And this title indicates that we are looking forward to something. This may be obvious in our day-to-day lives, right? Our Christmas trees are probably up. Maybe we have some lights up as well. People are Christmas shopping. I went to Walmart yesterday, and I barely escaped with my life. So even the world around us, in its own way, is preparing for something. It's preparing for Christmas in its own way. And while all of this is happening, the church is also nudging us, telling us that Christmas is not far off. The church is showing us the nativity off on the horizon and has given us this nativity fast, and especially this Sunday, as a time of final preparation for this event. And we can expand on this because the gospel reading for today is telling us that something big is about to happen. And it indicates that the birth of Christ was not just some one-off event in history, but was the conclusion and paradoxically the beginning to all biblical history. The birth of Christ is a cosmic event that the rest of creation history was in expectation of. So from Genesis to, as we read today, to Abraham, to David, all the way down to St. Joseph the betrothed, to Mary herself, there was an expectation of the Messiah, the something better for us that Paul mentions in today's epistle reading from Hebrews. So today is a Sunday of expectation. It is a Sunday of those who were part of Christ's lineage in the flesh. Christ came in the flesh. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And so today we stand on the precipice of the fulfillment of this deliverance. And although, yes, this deliverance came 2,000 years ago in a cave outside of Bethlehem, in the services of the church, we are transported once again to this moment. And so we'll hear and see this next week during Great Vespers on Christmas Eve, on Saturday night, during "The Lord I Have Cried," that hymn. And we begin the first hymn during "Lord I Have Cried." It begins, "Come, let us rejoice in the Lord," as we declare this present mystery. And the present mystery, as the hymn goes on to say, is the middle wall of partition being broken asunder, the flaming sword that guards the Garden of Eden being turned back, the cherubim withdrawing from the tree of life that they were guarding, and we again partake of paradise. That's what the hymn says. And the hymn goes on to say, paradise where I, as the chanters say it, or we were cast out through disobedience. This is what we're looking forward to. And this is what all the faithful of Israel and all the holy kings and prophets and ancestors of Christ were looking forward to. It is paradise, which comes in the form of a manger. And this paradise takes so many different forms. Yesterday we celebrated the three holy youths, Ananias, Azarias, and Mishael, and their Chaldean names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? The holy companions of the prophet Daniel, who were thrown into the fiery furnace when they refused to worship the golden idol set up by the king Nebuchadnezzar. And yesterday we recall how they weren't burnt up by the flames of the furnace, but were instead seen walking in the midst of the flames. And not only that, they were walking with a companion, described as one like a son of God. This companion was Christ himself. It was Emmanuel. It was God with us. So this fiery furnace comes to be another type of paradise. And God's presence among the three holy children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is another foreshadowing, not just of the incarnation, but of heaven itself. So what God does in the fiery furnace, turning it into a type of paradise, God does in the manger, in the cave, where the incarnation takes place. That's why on Christmas Eve, the Troparion for the day calls the cave where the infant Jesus dwells a palace, because by God's presence, the cave is transformed. This is also why the Troparion of the Four Feast calls the womb of Mary a spiritual paradise, because wherever God dwells, it becomes a type of paradise. That also means that this church is a type of paradise of God, where he dwells and walks among us. It's not just a meeting space or a conference room or an auditorium. It's a meeting space between man and God. It is a second paradise. It's why the church providentially has a barrier between the general space in which we now all stand and the altar, right? Where God comes to dwell in the Eucharist, in communion. And it's why that barrier is opened up and God comes and dwells among us in this place, in the Eucharist. It's a beautiful symbol of paradise and a foreshadowing of the paradise to come. It's how we can say that all of time comes to a single point in the liturgy, past, present, future, in the presence of the body and blood of Christ. And it's how we can say that all of time comes to a single point in the Nativity, in the birth of Christ. In the Nativity of Christ, we celebrate once again paradise. We celebrate Emmanuel, God with us, dwelling with us in time and in the flesh. It is the ultimate version of the parable of the lost sheep. The shepherd doesn't just go after the lost sheep, but in the Nativity, the shepherd becomes like the sheep and ventures out to bring the lost sheep, us, fallen humanity, back. So this week, may we join the prophets and the ancestors of Christ in the expectation of the Messiah. This is the last week of the Nativity fast. And in this last week, the fast gets a bit more strict. But it gets a bit more strict for a reason. Everything for us should slow down. We empty ourselves a bit more, and we look forward to this upcoming great feast when we can shout, "Christ is born! Glorify him!" Be present in this fast and this feast. Have expectation in your heart for the advent of the Son of God, and may our hearts be filled with the joy of the expectation of Christ's coming. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.